Please be seated. Well, it's good to see you again. If you would, please open in your Bibles to the letter to the Hebrews. This evening we'll be considering, I'll read verses 1 of chapter 1, 1 through 4. And we'll be focusing primarily on verses 1 and 2 this evening. So Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Holy Father, we thank you for your word. We pray you would bless it this evening as we meditate upon it. Lord, we pray that we would see Jesus for who he is and how he works in our lives as our mediator, primarily as a prophet for us. Lord, we pray that you would bless the reading and preaching of your word and use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, there are many ways to explain the person and work of Jesus Christ. He's called Savior, Redeemer, Messiah, or Christ. We refer to him as the Great Shepherd of the Sheep, the Prince of Peace, the Lamb of God. But three titles in particular that really sum up the work of Jesus Christ are found in relation to what we call his offices, the roles or functions that Jesus fulfills. Back in the 1600s, there was a large group of pastors and theologians that got together to search the scriptures to answer several questions about who God is and what he has done for us. And among many of the questions they asked of the word of God, this was one of them. What offices doth Christ execute as our Redeemer? That might sound familiar to you. That comes from the Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 23. And the answer that they had come to based on their understanding of the scriptures, their searching of the scriptures, is that Christ, as our Redeemer, executeth the offices of a prophet, priest, and king, both in his estate of humiliation and exaltation. And during our time together, beginning tonight, and then I'll be back toward the end of August two more times, it's my hope for us to look at the three offices of Christ, of prophet, priest, and king, and do so in a way that helps us understand the foundations of each one of these offices and how Jesus fulfills and carries out each one of these roles for us. And so this evening we'll be considering Jesus' office as a prophet. And so the topic really this evening comes from the next question that all of those pastors asked in the Shorter Catechism. How doth Christ execute the office of a prophet? And their answer: Christ executeth the office of a prophet in revealing to us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. And the point that I really hope you glean from that question and answer, but also from the text we read this evening, is that you can be assured of your salvation by hearing the voice of Jesus in the word. Be assured of your salvation by hearing the voice of Jesus in the word. And one of the first things that we need to understand, and one of the first things that the scriptures assume here in chapter 1 of Hebrews, as well as the catechism assumes, is that in the Old Testament, God spoke to his people through prophets. There was this role of a prophet, and these assumptions are right assumptions. The answer of our catechism says Christ executed the office of a prophet. The writer to the Hebrews says, long ago, at many times, in many places, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But where do we see that office in the Old Testament, that position displayed in Scripture? Well, if you were to turn to somewhere like Deuteronomy chapter 5, you would see in verses 1 through 5 how Moses was reminding the people of Israel what happened when they first heard the Ten Commandments at Sinai in Horeb. Moses points out to them that he stood between them and God as one who is declaring God's words to the people. As chapter 5 goes on, Moses records that the people were so terrified at the voice of God that they begged Moses to be a go-between, be a mediator between God and them. And this is precisely what a prophet is. He's a mediator, a go-between between God and man, someone who speaks on behalf of God. Now, when most people think of a prophet, usually they think about somebody who says something about the future, right? Most of the times when we think about a prophet, we think about people who foretell the future. And prophets did do this, but you'd be maybe surprised to know that this was not their primary role in the Old Testament. They did tell the future, but their main role was to speak God's word and will to the people. So yes, they were engaged in foretelling, but their main role was forthtelling, communicating God's will to God's people. You can think of it this way, perhaps in medieval times. If a king wanted to tell all of the people in his kingdom something, he wouldn't get online and post something on Twitter or on X so that everyone could see it instantly. He didn't have that technology. What he would do is he would appoint a special chosen person, a herald, to go forth and stand in the middle of each town, in the town square. And he would cry out the declarations or the announcements of the king. He would declare the king's will to all of the people living in his realm. And so in this sense, a messenger of the king was kind of like a prophet, because he communicated the king's will to the people. This is what prophets do. They take God's will and they give it to the people. And in a similar way, this is the role of a preacher or of a pastor. He's an individual chosen by God, set apart by God to communicate God's will to God's people. Now, that's not to say that preachers or pastors today receive new words from God or direct revelation from God that we then communicate to God's people. That's not what happens. But we do take God's will and communicate it, express it to God's people. And in this way, preachers and pastors function kind of like prophets for the people of God, communicating God's truth to the people in the pews. And Moses, as one of the first prophets, communicated God's truth to the people, and so too did the many prophets down through Israel's history, until God sent a very special prophet in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has come to speak as the ultimate prophet for the people of God. And we see that's what the writer to the Hebrews says in verses 1 and 2. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So as we read here, and as the catechism will draw on, Jesus, the Christ, now executes or exercises this office of a prophet And again, we see that in the text here. And this was God's plan all along. At Deuteronomy 18:18, God says to Moses that I will raise up for the people of God a prophet like you, Moses, from among your brethren. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. Jesus is the fulfillment of these words spoken to Moses. He's come as the final authoritative word of God, the ultimate prophet. This time, God did not have to speak through others to declare his will. It was God himself who speaks, who reveals in fullness the glory and majesty of God himself. And that's not to say that the words of the former prophets were any less important or that they needed to be heeded with less attention. No, but the full revelation of God's will has come in Jesus Christ. So instead of the king sending a servant of the court to be a messenger to speak his will, the king has sent his own son to proclaim his will. A much fuller and clearer explanation of the king's will can be given if it's the prince himself who speaks it. And this is what we have when Jesus has come into the world. John 1:18 says that no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him, or he has made him known. And we can be assured that Jesus' explanation is a perfect explanation of the Father, of his will. Jesus' words were in perfect accord with his Father's will, not only because he only ever spoke what the Father told him to say, John 12:50, but because he is God himself. For I and the Father are one, John 10:30. So since God himself has come and delivered the full and final message regarding his own will, we don't need to look elsewhere to know what God desires of us. We don't need to look elsewhere to know who God is and understand what he wants us to do in our lives. We don't need to look elsewhere or expect additional revelation from him. So continued prophecy or continued adding to God's word claimed by some are really erroneous and false. Because God has sent his final prophet. What can be said that is greater than the very words of God spoken by God himself already? All that we need for life and godliness are given to us by the words of Jesus. Well, just in case you're thinking, well, what about the apostles then? Didn't they speak and didn't they write after Jesus? Didn't they add to what Christ had said? Are they somehow less authoritative? Or are they going beyond what Jesus wanted to communicate? Well, listen to what Jesus himself says about these apostles and to these disciples in John 14:26. Speaking to them, he says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." The apostolic writings, those approved by them, are the words of Christ spoken by the Spirit. This is why the church has recognized, has received the New Testament scriptures that could only be those with apostolic authority. Therefore, any supposed revelation from God outside of the scriptures is really empty. It's empty of authority and it's empty of power. Jesus speaks as prophet in only one place, and that is his word. But to whom does God Christ as the final prophet speak? We'll look at that Hebrews text again. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. Jesus, as prophet, speaks now to you by his word. When the writer to the Hebrews says God has spoken to us, the us refers to his people, refers to the church. And the catechism picks up on this. Christ executeth the office of a prophet in revealing to us. It's God's desire to communicate his will to all of his people, to all of his children, and not simply speak to certain special individuals who will then become arbiters of God's truth. But he desires to speak to all of us, all of his children. And to do so, he ordained that his words be written down. And this is what the catechism means when it says in revealing to us by his word. We have God's written word given to us that we might read it and know it. God set apart the prophets of old and the apostles to write down his words. And these men were inspired directly by God himself. And all the words they wrote were the words of God. Paul says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So the Bible is the direct word from God given to you to show how you may glorify him and how to enjoy him. And these words of Jesus speak to all people in all ages. Just think, if you wanted to communicate a special message, not just to your son or to your grandson, but if you wanted to write something directly to your great-great-great-great-grandson, how would you do it? Well, I suppose nowadays you could record a message, right, and have them play it for you. I was listening to some tech review that you can now have AI-generated images of yourself that speak with your voice and communicate the kinds of things that you would want to say, and your descendants can actually have conversations with an AI facsimile of who you are. That's terrifying. I'm not going to go any further than that. But without technology of that sort, how would you communicate something directly to your great-great-great-great-grandson or granddaughter? Well, you could write it down for them, couldn't you? You could put it in words on paper. You wouldn't just tell your son to tell his son to tell his son and so forth and so on. You could write it down so that your great-great-great-great-grandson or granddaughter could read it for themselves. They could read your words directly. This is kind of what the Bible is like. Words written from God directly to you. It is Jesus as God who speaks in the Bible directly to you. You don't need anything else to know what God desires for you or what his will is for you. But God speaks directly to you. And unlike us who may or may not have great, 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 great grandchildren, we don't know exactly who they are. This God who foreordained all things before they came to pass knew you and knows you intimately. And his word speaks to you directly through his spirit. And so you can trust his word to guide you rightly and what to believe concerning him and how it is you should live your life. You don't need anything else. Perhaps the Pope of Rome, you don't need him. You don't need the Book of Mormon or the Watchtower Society or other religious books like the Quran or fortune tellers to know what God's will is for your life. The Lord God Almighty has given you his will in his words. You have the very words of Jesus spoken to you in the Bible. Praise God that he has given us such a blessing. And yet, you know, as people come to this word, not everyone understands it. Anyone in the world could open up this book, and yet not everyone understands what it says. Not everyone can understand or hear the words of that prophet speaking. Why is this the case? Well, the Catechism picks up on why this may be the case, as it goes on to say that Christ executeth the office of a prophet in revealing to us by his word and spirit. You see, Jesus speaks by his spirit as well in his word. The Catechism is pointing out another important teaching of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. verses 13 and 14, Paul gives us the reason why many do not understand or believe the Scriptures. And this is what the Catechism, I think, is getting at here. 1 Corinthians 2:13-14 says this: "And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths with those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." So what Paul is saying is that a person must be given understanding by the Spirit of God, because the words of the Bible are written by the Spirit and they teach of spiritual things. It's almost like he's saying that the natural man, the unbeliever, speaks English and the words of the Bible were written in German. Right? You might be able to look at the words, and if you don't know German, you might be able to look at it and identify some of the letters. Yeah, they look a little familiar. Maybe you could start to sound out some of the words, and there are some overlap, some similarity. Some of it sounds vaguely familiar, but you really can't understand what is ultimately being communicated. You don't know what's going on. You need to know German before you can fully understand. And in a similar way, a person must know and be taught by the Spirit before he can truly understand spiritual things. But Jesus speaks to you by his word and Spirit. Listen to what Paul says in verse 12 of that chapter. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God." Because you have been born again, you've been given the Spirit of God, and you can understand the words of Christ spoken to you in his word. As you read the Bible, the Spirit of God helps you understand what it says. This is what we call illumination. A light being shined upon the word in your mind to understand what the Scriptures teach. The Spirit illumines or sheds light on the word of God so you can know what it's teaching concerning God's will. What a wonderful blessing the Lord has given to us as fallen human beings living in this sinful world full of darkness. The Lord has shined light into our hearts that we might see not only the face of Jesus Christ, but understand his will for us in this world. And so what is God's will for you then? What is Christ through the Spirit trying to communicate? Well, listen to how the Catechism continues one more time. "Christ executeth the office of a prophet in revealing to us by his word and Spirit the will of God for your salvation." Christ speaks concerning God's will for your salvation. John says at the end of his gospel, chapter 20, verse 31, that these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have everlasting life in his name. So the purpose for which Jesus speaks to you in the Bible is to grant you salvation, to show you the path of salvation, because God's desire is to bring you into a relationship with himself. How did he do this? Well, sometime in your past, you heard the call of the gospel, which came from God's word. You either read it, you heard it preached, or it was spoken to you by your parents or someone else. At some point, you heard the word of God. You believed it and you were saved. But God's will for you is not simply a one-time salvation event. God's plan is a salvation process, a process that's carried on throughout our whole lives. The moment you were saved, you were justified. Your sins were forgiven. You were declared righteous in God's sight. You were saved from the penalty of sin. But God's not done with you yet. From that moment that you believe, from that point forward, you are still being saved, that is, sanctified, becoming more and more like the person God has declared you to be. More and more righteous, more and more holy, more and more like Jesus. This is part of the salvation process. God is saving you, not just from, he hasn't just saved you from the penalty of sin. He's also saving you from the power of sin in your life. This is what the will of God is for you, that you get saved, then you become more and more like the one who saved you. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Paul tells Timothy that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Then he goes on to say that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the Scriptures, God's will, make you wise for salvation. They tell you about Jesus and you get saved. You're justified. But they also work to make you complete, to sanctify you, that the man of God may be complete. So what is the catechism teaching us then through this question and answer? Well, it's teaching that you can grow in and be assured of your salvation by hearing the voice of Jesus in the Word. Jesus, as that ultimate prophet, is speaking to you in the Bible. He's teaching you about the gospel, about how God sent his son Jesus into the world to earn salvation for sinners like you and me, which he accomplished through his righteous life, wrath-satisfying death, and glorious resurrection from the dead. And that if you repent from your sins and trust in Jesus as your only hope for salvation, you will be saved from the wrath of God and given eternal life. This is the voice of Christ who calls you to salvation. But it's also the voice of Jesus in the Scriptures after you are saved that leads you and guides you into greater conformity to that Savior. This is why the reading, but especially the preaching of God's Word, is so important. It's God's means of grace for building you up in holiness and in comfort through faith unto salvation. So know that when you open the Word of God, or whenever you hear it preached, it is the very words of God, the words of Jesus speaking to you, teaching you how to live and declaring who you are and whose you are. Children of God, as you listen to the Word and listen to it preached, hear the voice of your shepherd calling you as his sheep. The voice of your shepherd who says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. Hear the voice of your shepherd in the Word who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hear the voice of Christ in the Word who says, no one will snatch you out of my hand, and nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Hear the voice of Jesus in the Word when he says, now may the peace of God himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it. Find rest, friends, and assurance in the Word that you are who Jesus says you are. You are saved because Jesus says you are, and you are becoming like him because Jesus is making it possible through his Word and by his Spirit. So then how doth Christ execute the office of a prophet? Well, Christ executeth the office of a prophet in revealing to you by his Word and Spirit the will of God for your salvation. So be assured of your salvation and grow in your sanctification by listening to the voice of Christ in the Word. He is your prophet. And praise God for that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for the work that you have accomplished on our behalf. And Lord, we thank you and that you did not leave us in the dark. And we thank you that you saved us by the power of your word, by the word incarnate. And after saving us, Lord, you did not leave us on our own. You didn't leave us guideless. But Lord, we thank you for your word that leads us and teaches us how to live for your glory and for our good. Help us to trust you. Help us to trust your prophet, Jesus Christ, in the word as he speaks to us through the work of your Spirit. Bless us and keep us and glorify yourself in Jesus' name. Amen.